Will Manso is in Boston. He is our Boston correspondent. He is embedded with the Miami Heat in Beantown. And it can't be super cold there because I just saw on Twitter that Will Manso is running right now. Like, he's jogging through Boston. Crowder's in Detroit for the NFL draft. Have you gone for a little jog through Detroit yet?
For what? Jog. I don't even know
Will, are you on? How long are you going to run for, Will?
I am 2.2 into a 5-mile run. I'm through Boston. Wow. I'm in Boston. I like to run over to Boston Common and just go to the park here. It's so pretty with the water and the birds and the ducks, and there isn't a cloud in the sky. It's perfect out. But it's 50. Hey,
let me
it's
tell
chilly,
you, Will,
but
you can see the birds and the ducks in the water just standing there too. You don't have to jog.
But they look so pretty as I run by, you know. And it makes
but I always
keep
say
my
to
mind
Crowder
up
when
what
he invites
happened
me, when Crowder invites me fishing, I always say you could see the fish and take them all home if you want, right at the Publix fish department. You don't have to go fishing; it's ridiculous.
Experience.
Will Manso, you see him on Local 10. You'll see his live reports. He is, like I said, in Boston. Yesterday could not have been too much fun. I don't think there was ever a moment there in the arena where you thought to yourself, "Okay, they're starting to make their run."
Yeah, I mean, there was the one moment they got it down to three. But even then, the thing with the Celtics is, and I will say this, the Heat recognized it right away, and they know it as an adjustment for game two. Celtics put up more threes than just about anybody in the league. They hit 17 a game. They hit 22 yesterday. And sometimes you have to tip your cap to the other team, which is great. They made a lot. They took 49 of them. But as a defense, they have to understand three is more than two. You've got to find a way to force Boston to the paint, try to let them finish. And while that could be good, they could maybe get to the basket, score, maybe get to the mid-range. That's much better to deal with than a team hitting 22 threes, especially since the Heat want to keep it in the mud. And in the mud isn't shooting 49 threes. It's just not going to add up with the math or the style of play.
And, Will, but I understand that, too. We said that was historic. I think everybody that played hit a three for Boston or something crazy. But even offensively, though, we can't get to 100. What did Tyler have, 10, 11, something like that? Like, I don't know if Bam can carry us offensively and defensively like that. What do we have to do offensively to honestly keep up with Boston?
You know, I know that the theory's in the mud, and trust me, part of that has to be in the mud. I get it. But I think the Heat have to recognize you sort of have to fight fire with fire a bit. And while you don't have the manpower and the weapons and the roster that Boston has without Terry, without Jimmy, I get it, you got to shoot threes. And I think that to a man in the locker room yesterday, Nico Jovic, you know, Caleb Martin, DeLon Wright, who hit five threes, that early on in the game, they were passing on too many good looks, and they're trying to move the ball. Sometimes when you're thinking about in the mud and keeping it low scoring and your style, you're passing up some really good looks. And if you can't hit those looks, whatever, you're going to lose regardless. But you got to take the looks you get. So I think the change, the adjustment you'll see in game two, Channing, is that they're going to take those shots. And if they hit them, if the Heat can hit 16, 17 threes, which they're certainly capable of if they get hot, on, you know, 40-plus attempts, they can at least keep up with Boston from three. And then you trust your defense to make big plays down the stretch. Just keep it close. We've seen that formula work even against Boston. But you can't shoot twos and be passive and try to overpass while they're draining threes left and right.
Will, what about, you know, Kevin Love yesterday? He comes in. You mentioned earlier the when Miami cut it down to three, they had a nice run to end the first quarter. I mean, he went 3 for 3. He had those 5 points. Or 7 points in the first quarter, and he only ended up playing 5 minutes in the first half. Do you get the feeling Miami's going to try to go a little bit bigger? We'll see more Kevin Love. Like, to me, it seems you got to have Bam, Jovic, or Kevin Love, two of those three on the floor at all time against his team.
I think so. And I think yesterday was kind of a trial and error. I think Spo was trying to figure out, because remember, they're not used to playing. They've had games without Jimmy, but to play without Jimmy and Terry, and then you've got Duncan's clearly limited. I mean, he'll get out there and he'll try to space and hit a three now and then. He did knock one down yesterday, but overall, he's not the Duncan we know. I think yesterday was kind of a trial and error for Spo, and I think he's going to figure out with these 2 days, hey, look, this is the type of style I need to play in the roster and the rotation. DeLon Wright's another perfect example. I think DeLon, early on, I think DeLon didn't play enough, right? And by the time he did, the game was out of hand. So I think Spo's going to figure that out and try to figure out what to do next. But I think Kevin Love has to be part of the equation because he was very productive in his minutes.
Will Manso is with us from Boston. You were in the locker room after the game. What was the mood from the Heat players? Is it resignation? Hey, we're playing a great team, and we don't have Jimmy, and we don't have Terry. Or was it still upbeat, like, hey, we'll go steal one on Wednesday?
Yeah, the one thing you don't have to worry about this team is lack of confidence. And I don't think they're at all any sense of like, man, that team is just too good. I don't think so at all. I think what they saw was a team that they knew. Like, everybody knows the Celtics style to shoot threes and hit threes. And I think to a man in there, nobody was too down. They just said, hey, look, we wasted a chance. Like, we got behind so much. It took such an effort to try to get back into it. And then they barraged us again with more threes in the second. Then by the third, it was a laugher. And all the energy that they took in that second quarter to get back into it, a late first, and then in that fourth quarter where they made a run at least. You have to remember, the one thing about the run in the fourth that you could take away, normally those runs don't matter, but it was starter on starter. And maybe Boston let their guard down a bit, which I think is normal when you have a big lead. But I think to the Heat, they kind of found a way to like, hey, just shoot, attack, kick out, shoot. Stop this overpassing. Stop this standing around waiting. You don't have Jimmy anymore. You don't have that offense where you could wait to 10 seconds of the shot clock and give Jimmy the ball and let him attack and get to the free throw line. So get active on offense early. So I didn't think at all the mood was down. I think they just said, hey, let's take these 2 days, use them, and let's play better basketball Wednesday.
And Will, who gave Caleb Martin the code red?
Chris Quinn. Blame it on Quinny. I don't know what's hilarious. It's funny. The one thing about being at a game and not watching the broadcast is that you don't get a sense of what's being said. So I get busy after I go to the locker room, start getting the sound. We asked Caleb about it, you know, just because there was a little bit of a, you know, fracas, I guess you could say, there for a minute. But I didn't think anything else of it. And then I see all the tweets and all the mentions last night at dinner and all the things. And it's just hilarious, man. It's just, yeah. Eric Spoelstra called the timeout to challenge a play, to tell Caleb to get pushed in the back, to slam into Tatum to injure him. That makes sense.
Are you on this jog with Brian Scalabrine right now?
I'm actually chasing him. I can't catch him. I'm trying to catch up to him. But the call slowed me down, so I'm about a block behind him, so I'll catch up to him and get in his face.